This is the Night Owls Disc Golf Podcast. I'm Shane.
And I'm JP.
And notable absence is Ben. He's has hives. He's puking. And there might even be stuff coming out the other end.
Oh, boy.
He didn't say, but...
No.
It's an assumption.
Yeah.
Safe one.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. See, I mean, well, not safe if you're on that end of him. Mm-hmm. But... Did I almost make the water come out your nose?
Close. Okay. Very close.
So Ben is ill, and it sounds like it is a food poisoning issue.
That's what it sounds like, yeah.
Yeah, potentially. So it's just the old guys, but that's okay. That's okay. Thoughts and prayers. Speedy recovery. Is there anything else prophetic or fun we can say?
Deuces in the toilet.
Exactly. Keep the deuces in the toilet, Ben. With that being said, he still did leave us with a random question.
Yes, he did.
So we'll have a random question from Ben. With that, door_disc_golf, night_owl_pod, and then doordisc.com, where you can find all your disc golf needs. And until further notice, until Ben, Mike, and Matt get their butts in gear, keep on keeping on with listening to Casual Relief. You can just listen to them over and over again until they put out some new stuff. With that being said, let's get into my random question. So, this is exciting.
Okay.
I've been thinking about this all day for at least 5 minutes.
All day for 5 minutes. Okay.
At least. So, with that, we have like the Navy Cross, right? Medal of Honor.
Uh-huh.
Amazing awards, like the top of the top, sacrificial, like these are the things in military that you do that are
Purple Heart,
like Purple Heart, Medal of Valor.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm not taking anything away from those. Those are on a whole nother level. I'm just using those as an example.
So okay.
Don't get huffy. The people huffing, out there.
Not you.
I'm the listeners, the imaginary crowd that's out here.
All 200 of you are
however. Exactly. If disc golf were to have medals,
oh,
what would be the like pinnacle medal of disc golf?
Oh man.
Now keep in mind, like to get a Purple Heart, basically you have to die in action, right?
No.
Mostly. I mean, some people are living, but very few,
I suppose.
Like the Medal of Honor, like you have to like save a lot of people.
Yeah.
Do something very like,
yeah,
selfless.
Sure.
What would be the disc golf equivalent?
Man, that's tough. Like, would it be some like courageous act like out on the course, like saving a spectator or something? Like some spectators, like, you know, like going down for the count on the course, and all of a sudden you like spring into action and like save their lives out on, while they're out on the course or something like that. Or
sure.
Or like somebody's got a, you know, falls and tragically like hurts themselves and you carry like, them back like to the like clubhouse
or yeah, breaks their ankle or something, right? Like that. Yeah, those things don't happen, but if someone happened to slip and break their leg or...
On a random bridge, that's slippery.
Slippery. Saving them and walking them back, like doing the whole...
Yeah.
Or if someone like jumps out of a tree and breaks their...
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. I mean, that's never happened, right? Like in Vegas?
No, not that I'm aware.
When a person jumped out of a tree and ended their round when they were getting someone else's disc. What would the medal be called? I'm throwing it on you.
Yeah, here. I don't know. I thought about naming it after somebody, but I can't really think of anybody that I would name it.
Very. Would it be the cat merch medal? Because she's the one that saved the frogs and caterpillars. Yeah. Like spiders or something like that.
The Preserving and Saving Nature Award. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I was thinking of that. And the reason why, and I thought of it more in a funny way. So I was listening to this thing about a Navy Cross or Silver Cross or like a Navy Cross award. It's like second to the Medal of Honor.
Okay.
And I was listening to him talk, and obviously the stories are not comparable, but I'm thinking like, well, you know, if disc golf had those type of awards, like the president of the PDGA comes down and hands these things to these people without walking away, you know, like our president did. But if someone came down and actually like awarded these things, what would they be called and why would you give them out? And I immediately went to the, like the spectator bottle that knocks the disc back in bounds.
Yeah, you know? You're right. The umbrella.
Yeah, the umbrella. Umbrella gate, yeah. Yeah. So I went to immediately like the funny things.
Sure.
But like what would be the serious thing? The only thing I can think of is like when the disc, like what was the one where the guy got nailed with a disc, didn't it? Like split his head open or something like that. And then they started pushing the fairways off a bit more.
Yeah.
It was like 2019 or 2018. And they threw like a forehand. Somebody threw a forehand and just absolutely obliterated this guy. It was a shank.
I'm thinking of it happened this year too. I think Eric Oakley was at Waco and actually like threw something and like hit somebody in the.
Really?
Yeah. I'd have to go back and watch it. But I remember seeing a clip where I'm pretty sure he's trying to throw. You know, what's that hole that has the fence and then it's like the two. Like barriers and like the holes like further ahead.
This is not a great description.
Well, I don't know.
The fence and two barriers.
I can't think of what the hole number is right now.
What course do you
At Waco.
Waco.
Shoot. I can't.
The fence, two barriers. Oh, where Macbeth actually threw the like roller that rode the fence, or he played the skip off the fence or something like that.
Yeah. And yeah, somebody else had one that went across the fence and like actually like slid up through underneath.
Yes.
I forgot what hole. I think it was Kyle Klein that did that. But yeah, I remember him hitting somebody this year and then just kind of like waved it off like, sorry, like that kind of situation.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I feel like or like a tree kick award.
Yeah. Yes, yes. So the one I remember, I think it was Austin Hannum, who absolutely ripped a forehand. And it was way offline, but it was like a forehand. And I want to say it was in California. I don't remember exactly which one it was, but I think he ripped a forehand and like nailed a guy.
Yeah.
I think that was him. But anyways, yeah. So I thought about it. And what I think it should be, I don't know. See, I didn't give it enough thought, but I wonder what that would be. So this is an interaction time. We don't ask for much interaction anymore, but send us what the disc golf equivalent of the Medal of Honor would be. And it can be funny or it can be serious.
Yeah.
What do you think it should be called? Because it can't be called like Ken Klima Award.
Right.
That's already there.
Yeah.
So... So I have to think about that.
Golden disc of something.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. Like the Flying Disc Award. I'm like, oh, how cheesy.
Yeah. But,
so, all right. Well, we're going to skip both the Third Hanger and Flipper and the Why Do You Suck? Because both of us have zero playing time.
Yeah.
And neither of us bought anything this week.
No, hopefully I'll buy something this week.
Yes. There is shipping confirmation, so
hey.
I'm sure you will. So
we'll see about that.
Yeah, we'll see if you're there in time.
Yeah.
I have so many people that are like, I want one. And I'm like, I don't even know how many there are, and I can't hold them for people now. Like,
yeah.
There's a few people that hopefully I can get them, but like at this point I'm like, it's going to have to be a first come, first serve.
And yeah.
Like, there's too many people that are like, I want a time lapse. I'm like, okay, only 10 are coming.
Yeah.
And then there's one guy, not to mention any names, that wants 10 of them. And I'm like,
10?
He wants all 10 of them. And I was like, no, that's probably not going to happen.
Wow.
We're going to limit it to one per person. So.
That's,
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was thinking if everybody that is like between employees, team, and I was like, I don't know if we'll have it.
There's not enough.
Yeah, there's not a lot of. No, not there's not enough. But I think the stock runs are going to do pretty well anyways.
I would guess so.
Yeah. So.
Are you guys getting the waves?
We do. We have the waves coming in too. So those will be coming in as well. So with that, we'll get into the preview. We're going to do the MVP recap, and we're going to talk about some stuff that happened at the MVP. And then we'll talk about Tatar. Surprise, surprise. We will do a championship cut line, just kind of who's making the championship. And then we'll get into the random question and then our shop update. So with that being said, let's get into the MVP recap. I do have to say that I did not watch any live coverage, but I was able to, before we jumped on here, I was able to watch for about an hour, hour and a half of like clips and things like that. There is a lot of clips of super, super close shots to aces.
Yes.
Marta Wheat had an ace.
Had an ace on eight.
Heimberg was like
inches away.
Inches. Not even inches. Like they call it sea hairs.
Yeah.
That, just so you know, that's officially the little tiny lines on a tape measure. That's what those are. Just so you know. And
that's an interesting way of describing it. Okay.
That's what they are. That's where. That's what my grandfather told me. Oh. It can't be wrong.
No. No. Wisdom. Oh, yeah, those are sea hairs. Oh, yeah.
Okay. It's a sea hair. All right, good.
That's got to stand for something.
I'm telling you. And if it's not, it's not my fault. I'm just passing on my ignorance, right?
Yep.
So with that, and then Kevin Jones bounces off the top of the basket.
Yep.
And I'm just a lot. And then who else? We had Heimberg bounce off the top of the basket again in the CTP. Mm-hmm. And then we had, was it Holland Hanley that hit the post? Like just below the basket, hit the post?
Yeah.
So, I mean, just a bunch of snipers out there. Just incredible. Throwing some lasers, just lawn darts. So,
absolutely.
So with that being said, let's talk about MVP. Let's start with FPO and talk about how Kristen Tatar absolutely went up in a ball of flames.
Yeah.
And lost it in the last three holes.
Yeah. I mean,
so she had a 3-stroke lead going into 16, proceeded to bogey, double bogey, then par.
Mm-hmm.
And loses it to Haley King, which I believe, we have to give kudos to Ben, because I think he picked her.
He picked her somewhere for sure.
Yeah. I know it was out there. Yeah. It was in the realm. And I actually questioned him, like, really? Why her?
Yeah.
And then he's like, well, because it's wooded. And I remember the conversation. Yeah, so I think that was her.
Yes, I think you're right.
Yeah. So good for him. And then, so then Haley King takes it down.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Kristen Tatar and Owen Scoggins.
Yep.
Second and third tied. Yep. And then right behind that was
Holly Finley. Evelina Salonen. Or Evelina, then Holly Finley, mm-hmm. Holly Hanley, Macy Valadez, Hannah Blomroos, Valerie Mandahano, and then Allie Smith. Those are the top 10. And
good job.
Evelina, surprisingly to me at least, was the leader. After the first round, I was home Thursday watching live coverage, and all of a sudden, like, the score pops up. I was like, because lead card was Kristen, Owen, Missy, and who's the fourth? Ella.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, they're cutting away. I'm like, Evelina's 5 down right now. Like, what?
Yeah.
And then she kind of fell off, and then, you know, it was Kristen, Owen, and I think Haley.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then third round was like kind of ridiculous because of weather.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
bad weather. Like even like I was watching the practice round with Jomez with James Proctor, German, Yuli, and it was raining when they were in the practice round. Like there's just not good weather the whole weekend, really. Like it looked like it was overcast. And
did I hear the rumors true that they pulled players from the course for excessive wind?
I think so.
For a short period of time.
Yeah. Because even today, Chase Card was out in front on MPO
mm-hmm.
by like 4 holes. Like lead card was behind them by 4 holes. And I was like, well, that's kind of interesting. Like, what's the situation with that? I don't know if it was just slow, but yeah, something. But cool for Haley King. And then even after, so this is her second win of the season, elite pro, you know, major, leader pro, major win, and then her 8th overall. And I think this is Kristen's back-to-back second place finish at Maple Hill. And then what was also cool is on the broadcast, they said that Haley King was only the second woman to never be, who has never been a world champion to win at Maple Hill.
Really?
Yeah. Or I shouldn't, is that what they said? Second person? Yeah, I think that's what I had heard. Huh. And that she's the fourth, according to Statmando, the fourth unique playoff winner in 4 playoff events. Wow. So the 2 last year and the 2 this year, all 4 of them, different winners.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Good for her. And it's awesome. You know, I'm happy that she won. And like, she's a local from this area, from Wisconsin.
She moved to North Carolina? Is that?
Yeah, I think so. I think she's in Asheville. Or
Asheville.
I think that sounds now. But yeah, she's local. And you know, we've seen her out playing. And, you know, it's just one of those things to see, like, somebody that started so young and then something come through and actually do very well. So that's great. Let's see with,
and like, she's somebody too, who takes long stretches off during the season. So, she comes through and plays when she kind of feels like, and, but she's had, when she does play, she has solid finishes. Right now, it looks like her worst finish was 23rd, but every other time she's been out, she's been top 10 pretty much. I think she has a 13th at Worlds. Yeah. So, but, you know, everything else is like 6th, 2nd, 3rd, you know. So, I mean, she's consistent. She moved up 2 spots in the championship with this with this win. So, I mean, that's great.
And that is fantastic. And so, yeah, second year in a row that Tatar came in second place and last year was to Natalie Ryan, and Natalie did not make cash this year. So she was 20th with a plus 18. And the winners were, well, the winner, Haley King, was -7, and then Tatar was -6, and Scoggins.
Yeah.
So, and then they had a 3-stroke gap between Evelina and Owen. And Holly Finley was actually up there as well. But she just didn't perform. She finished at +2 with a +1 round. So she was in contention. All she had to do was throw down a -2, -3, and she would have been right up there playing around. So good for them.
Yeah. And then after the round, Haley was like, they were interviewing her, and she was talking about how in her mind she didn't want to, but she knew that she just kind of had to play boring golf and kind of just let the others around her mess up. You know, she was just waiting for the other people to make the mistakes and for her to capitalize. And I think that's something that maybe, I think she's somebody that would want to kind of push the pedal to the metal, but maturing.
Right. Yep.
And showing that she's capable of doing that and not having those mental errors.
Right. Well, and it's something very much like that paralleled MPO probably about 5 years ago, where there were points where you could just kind of coast to a victory, not coast, but play smart to a victory because others were just not as consistent and you know, the level of play wasn't where it is now. And I think as much as it may offend people to say, but I think FPO shadows MPO in that regard, because, you know, that'll probably be a point too, at one point where that'll be a grave mistake, is to just coast in FPO.
Oh yeah.
Like right now, if someone did that, like if Matty O just coasted this last round, he would have zero chance of winning.
Right.
Spoiler. We haven't gotten to it yet, but, but you know, I mean, that's, it reminds me of Eagle. when Eagle, we're like, man, just play safe. Just play yes, safe.
Right.
And he would win. And then all of a sudden, he just flipped this switch where he's like, I'm just going to play like Sexton golf.
Yeah.
You know, and then it worked out for him. He ended up having all those wins. And then he dislocated his shoulder. And then,
yeah,
he's kind of off the market now. But, I mean, he's still playing very well. But,
absolutely.
So we'll get into MPO now, I guess.
Yeah.
So with that, Matty Ho.
Finally.
I know.
Finally.
I know. I think Saban came through for him.
Yeah.
Told him the right things. And
well, Alabama was lucky to squeak out a win this week. Yeah, exactly. They did not play well against Southern Florida yesterday.
Yeah. But hey, you know, with a good win under the belt from Bama, it just puts Matty Ho in a good spot. Mm-hmm. And that's that. You know, and it was just, there was nothing for him to complain about. Life was in a perfect zone.
Yep.
So.
Well, even after the round, he yelled out, save it. Like,
I think that's fantastic. Yeah. So, yeah, so Matty Ho, and a pretty comfortable lead. I mean, a pretty comfortable win.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Just super comfortable win. And he put up an absolute smoke show for the final round too. I mean, at neg nine, which is tied 10, for hot round.
1080.
Yeah. Yeah.
Final round.
And him and Gannon Burr were the only two, if I remember rightly. Oh, no, wait. Gavin Babcock had a neg 10, which is wow.
That's impressive.
To pull him up 28 spots.
Oh, jeez.
So, but
1087 round for Gavin Babcock. That's wow.
Impressive. So
impressive.
Yeah, so Matty Ho, number one. Aaron Gossage came in second. And then Eagle McMahon also tied for second. And then Richard Wysocki tied for fourth with Mr. Lazat and Heimberg. So our last year's champion came in fourth with Simon Lazat. But, yeah, I mean.
And Simon was in lead for a good amount. And then it was funny, in our text group between us and the casual relief guys, after the second round, Ben's like, what if Calvin wins?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I'm like,
good job, okay. You jinxed it.
Yeah. Two rounds in, I'm like, there's still two rounds to go, but he did have a good shot at winning.
Yeah.
And even going into the last hole, we knew Matty was going to win, but like, there's some stuff on the line as far as placements with Ricky, Calvin, and Simon. You know, there's putts that had to be made for them to either like move up, move down. And that all had to do with TGPT final standings as well. So there was definitely some things online. And you know what's really funny is Aaron Gossage played well. He and Eagle, you know, tied. Mm-hmm. Before going to Maple Hill, he made the comment that it was the worst course.
Really? On tour. He made that he didn't like it.
Yes,
I remember him
said that.
Was it on Tour Life, right?
I believe so.
Yeah.
And for him to show up and play well, I was like, you really don't like this course, but you played it really well.
Worst course. It's,
I
think, unanimously, aside from Aaron Gossage, one of the best courses.
I think it's still probably the top rated on UDisc.
I think it is.
You know, it's number one course in the world.
In the world, yeah.
And there was, you know, I don't know. He made that before. There was notable changes on the course. There's the whole new hole nine. Hole six played differently. And there was one. There's a couple different pin placements as well. There's hole one had the closer basket for the women near the mouth. Near the mouth of where the stone wall is. I think it was.
Yeah, it was probably like another 90 feet closer.
Something like that. And then I forgot that there's a hole in the woods that like goes slightly up. The basket was actually moved.
Not the castle hole, the one right before or after? Or was it? No, it wasn't the castle hole.
No, but anyways. No, but that one was moved forward. So there's some significant changes to the course this year. And hopefully, I don't know what people's thoughts on them are. I think one of the complaints, well, hole six, I think what they said is the basket moved. And it was like you had to hit a gap that was like 400 feet away, but it was super tiny. And you could make it out of the trees. But like once your disc got into the fairway and you had to hit that gap, it was going to be super hard. And I saw, I think it was Ben Calloway or something, just make an absolute like dead straight shot and like park it. And I was just like, well, some people are getting it, you know, like you can.
I that mentality of too hard just drive. I mean, there's unplayable, and then there's too hard.
Yeah.
Too hard, good. Like get better, you know? I mean, I don't know. When people complain about difficult shots, like, oh, how am I gonna hit that from 400 feet away, that 15-foot gap?
Yeah.
Throw better.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that is it's not even a question in my mind, because even if I throw the best I possibly can, I'm just landing at the mouth of the hole anyways, you know? So for me, it's not even a thought. But for these pros, they throw over that, of course. But, you know, like, okay, well, that's the risk you got to take. Either land up and play smart, I mean, lay up and play smart, mm-hmm. or gun it and risk it. Risk it for the biscuit.
Yeah.
Sounds weird.
Well, it's a phrase.
It is. It is.
Yeah.
I did use it properly, too.
And I forgot, Matty O came from the chase card. There's, mm-hmm. like, I remember earlier in the year, it was like everybody went off the chase card.
Right.
Like, that was just the thing. Now it's like, okay.
It was like a curse to be on. It's like a Madden curse, you know?
Yeah,
like lead card curse.
But super cool. And mm-hmm. then during coverage as well, I think Simon was there. They had the camera on Simon, and he was walking up 17, I think. Mm-hmm. And he's like, not like conceding, but he's like, hey, Matty O, you know, congratulations, you know.
Yeah.
It's super cool.
Yeah. But with four strokes, I mean.
Yeah, well, especially right. And over, everybody else was pretty far off at that point.
Well, especially over him. I think he was like six strokes back from Orem. So he's like, hey, good job. So let's finish out the top 10.
Yep.
So we went all the way down to Lazat and Heimberg. So mm-hmm. then in seventh, we have Ben Calloway. Tied for eighth, we have Kevin Jones and Ezra Aderhold. Or Ezra Robinson. Excuse me. And then Alden Harris rounds out the 10.
Mm-hmm.
So just right behind him is Gannon Burr. Let's see, any notables outside? Hey, Joel Freeman, tied for 15th. Figured I'd throw that out there for you, Ben.
Isaac Robinson, 19th. Cole Dowland, 21st.
Yuli in 18th.
Yep, and we're going to talk about him with the cutoff.
Oh, okay. Casey White, basically almost his home course, and he made cash this week, so good for him. Brody Smith, first outside of cash.
Dang. And he tied with Casey in 25th.
Like, you know how big of a fan I am of Brody Smith.
Yeah.
I like him.
Yeah.
And I'm not just saying that. He's just not getting better.
Mm.
Am I wrong? Did he plateau?
Perhaps.
Or is Vegas getting to him?
I don't know.
Like, now that he's moved to Vegas, is he just staying out on the street?
I forgot
too
about
much?
That whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's because his wife is now a cheerleader on the Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
But because like there was a couple times where Brody was kind of flirting with like staying mm-hmm. in the top 20.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, ooh, you know, like he could actually mm-hmm. do something.
Right.
And then he just fell off. And he says he keeps working on stuff. Mm-hmm. He credited himself with working out harder in the off season and like I don't know.
He lost a lot of weight.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so he looks great.
I honestly don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like there's courses that play to people's strengths, but I don't know what Brody's strength is.
That's the problem. Yeah. I mean, because he's a masher of a forehand, he's a masher of a backhand. Like he can throw far.
Yeah.
And
maybe it's disc selection sometimes, or I don't know.
I was just going to say, because I think he is I don't know. I mean, if you watch their rounds, he doesn't really change his disc molds up very often. So, I mean, I was going to say he's just not comfortable with the discs he's throwing because he kind of moves his discs around a lot, but that's not the case. I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, I want to see him do so much better, but I feel like he's just hit a plateau.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's a breakable plateau or not for him. I don't know. Maybe he's just old.
Not a spring chicken, that's for sure.
No. What's he, 34, 35?
Around there, maybe.
Okay. So, yeah, I don't know. I want him to do so much better. But Ulibarri is up there. I mean, Ulibarri's still playing. I mean, like, I'm excited to see
Matty O's been on tour
him.
For 20 years, so, like.
Matty O's killing it. And just that personality to win. That's just awesome. Like, I love seeing it.
Right. Yeah. I think I was thinking about this. Like, I was in the backyard mowing my lawn for a while today, and I had my phone on. So, mm-hmm. like, I would stop every once in a while and, like, watch. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about him personality-wise with Simon. Like, a lot of people love Simon for his personality and everything. And then there's Matty O. Matty O, to me, like, a lot of people would say, like, okay, Simon's, like, the people's champ. Matty O, to me, is more of, like, the people... He, I think more people can identify with him and disc golf than with Simon.
Right.
I don't want to say this in a bad way, but Matty O is like the casual professional.
Right.
In a way.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
I get it.
He's kind of like the guy that, like, you could be like, I can kind of be that guy. Mm-hmm. Maybe not as good, but like, you know what I'm saying. You kind of get what I'm saying.
So right? Simon is the guy, when you walk into a lunchroom, everybody wants to sit at his table.
Sure.
Matty O is the guy, when you walk into the lunchroom, he's the one that goes and sits at everybody's table.
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
That's what I think.
Yeah. That kind of.
Because he's the guy that everybody kind of likes him.
Yes.
Yeah. He's just right. Like.
He fits in with every. Like, mm-hmm. I think Simon's that way too. Oh, absolutely. But like.
But he's not the one to go seek it out, or like, he doesn't need the attention.
Yes.
I think that's what it
is. Yeah. And not like Matty O needs to seek out attention. Mm-hmm. Cause like,
it's just a personality.
Yeah. I think he's the guy, he's just the like happy go lucky kind of like checking in on people or like mm-hmm. just the,
he's the guy walking down the hall, giving high fives to everybody.
Exactly.
And Simon's the one like giving the head nods to everybody.
Yeah. Kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or doing his own thing, and if you acknowledge him, he's like the nicest guy in the world, but you got to kind of talk with him a little bit first.
Maybe. Because mm-hmm. I feel like there's still that, maybe there's a little bit of him not wanting to be in the spot. Mm-hmm. Not that he's not, doesn't want to be in the spotlight, because he's got his vlogs and videos and everything. So he's doing stuff that gets him that limelight. But this win that Matty O has feels like a win for everybody.
For the average Joe.
Right.
Yeah.
This is kind of like the story of like going out and working your hardest mm-hmm. and actually achieving your dream and having it come to fruition.
So are you saying he's Rudy?
Kind of, yeah. Right. Like,
I get it.
You're there, you know, and he brought it up. He's like, you know, I could have won this tournament in 2010 and mm-hmm. I lost it by a stroke. And it's taken him that long to get here.
Yep.
And then, you know, he's been around forever and just... Grinding. Like mm-hmm. he's got his wins on, you know, B tier, C tiers. Like we've talked about it.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You know,
absolutely. So he's a phenomenal player. He has a very unorthodox form.
Yeah.
Super unorthodox.
The Anheuser putts, like everything, you know, like the way he throw. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's, mm-hmm. I mean, and it's awesome because it appeals because if you ever video yourself, which you know, you do.
Yeah.
You ever video yourself. And then you take a clip of a pro and you compare the two. It's like we have physical handicaps compared to the pros, like mm-hmm. the way we throw. And I feel like that's kind of Matty O. Like he fits in with the crowd that, like you said, the people's, the average Joe's crowd.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get it. Maybe it is like the average Joe's, like in dodgeball.
Oh.
Yeah. Like that compared to Globo Gym.
Nobody makes me bleed my own blood.
Oh, I love that. So would Simon be what's his name? Ben Stiller's character?
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking of. Nah, I don't know. He's too mean. Like that's the thing. No.
Simon's like awesome.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
And that might be a bad a bad way of putting it, but I think we kind of nailed it. Like everybody, I think, loves them both for their personalities, but I think. When it comes down to it, people, I think, could relate their disc golf life and game to Matty O more than they can to Simon.
Right.
That's just kind of
my
opinion.
I get it. I'm with it. All right. Do we have anything else to talk about? Oh, yeah, we do. CTP.
Oh, yeah. So Friday, Steve Dodge had mentioned this. I think he was earlier on Smashbox, and last year they had the $1 million ace where mm-hmm. people were, trying to, get that. You know, I forgot what the distance was, but, so this year instead he had $20,000 and he's like, well, instead of taking out that insurance policy for the $1 million, he's like, mm-hmm. we're just going to give $20,000 away. And so they had a raffle. And I think what happened, I'm not 100% sure on this. What you could do is you buy tickets and kind of like, you get like a player. If they win, you like win a certain amount of money for like the average, you know, for the fans. Mm-hmm. And then the pros took home however much money. And so there's like different rounds, you know, there's rounds where like you throw and like you advance or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so Holland Hanley ended up winning for the women.
Good for her.
Yes. And then Eagle ended up winning for the MPO. Mm-hmm. And I didn't see much, many highlights of it or whatever. The one thing I did see was, and I'm sure most people saw it from, you know, social media, was Calvin.
Yeah,
throwing and hitting off the top of the basket. Mm-hmm. Like, that was pretty wild.
Yeah, and zero reaction. Just picks up his dirt bag and walks away.
You're right.
Like, come on.
Like, what? I don't even know, like, if he would have aced, like, obviously, you that's move CTB. On. But, like, right. But, like, is there anything extra that you have gotten for acing? I don't know.
Maybe there was an ace bounty on the whole day or something like that.
Oh, there could have been.
Because I know some big tournaments I've been to, there's always this ace bounty that's out there.
Well, like, Marweed won a generator.
Yeah.
Like, for hitting his ace on eight.
Like, of all things.
I'm just going to pack that up in the van and, like, head out with it, right? Like,
they talk about, like, them not even keeping trophies because they're too big. You get a generator.
Just ship it to the house, man. Like, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, here, Generac has
yeah, I don't remember the company, but, yeah, a generator.
But I mean, that's
maybe it is one of those like portable ones where it's like on wheels or like a car. You know, yeah, I don't know.
I'm sure it is. I'm sure it's like one of those little Honda generators or something like that. So it's probably very useful for the van life.
Yeah.
But in the same regard, like a generator, it was like when they were giving out those Rec-Tec grills. Remember those?
Oh, yeah.
Those were a big thing on the tour for a while where Rec-Tec was giving out grills. And you're like, what am I going to do with a grill? Like, I barely have enough room for my discs.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to put this like huge smoker. Although Rec-Tec, reach out. I mean, hey,
you
can sponsor the show. Yeah. All right.
Let us try it and we'll give our opinion.
Exactly. Then, yeah. And professional cook here. I mean, that's what I do for a living. All right. Tatar, let's start talking about her. So we did talk MVP. Awesome stuff that happened. Love the place. I look forward to MVP every year, and I can't wait to go back and watch Joe Mitch coverage of all this. Now, let's talk to Tar. So last time we talked about 1,000 rated, will she be the first one? And she's the one positioned to be the first 1,000 rated player.
And I think when we talked last time, I think we said Paige was at 994. She actually was up at 997. That was the highest.
So she got a bump. Oh, she was at 9. No, I thought it was 996, but she was 997, you said?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. I think what had happened, I think Paige's highest rating at one point was 997. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I thought Kristen had tied it. But then, like, the rating for, you know, it was released this past Tuesday.
Right.
And then she bumped up to 999, which is now the all time high for FPO, which is awesome.
Yep.
Like, just that much closer.
Exactly. So 999 and the two events that she's played since have, unless they finalized worlds, I don't know if they were finalized or not.
I don't know if that's a good point. I don't know.
But if worlds counts, MVP counts, she's going to be darn close.
Yeah. We were kind of doing math for the MVP just now, and it's a little lower than her actual rating.
But it all depends on what drops off the back end. Yes,
exactly.
So there is a very good chance that this next second Tuesday of the month, that we'll see the first 1,000 rated FPO player. Because she's at 999 right now, which is the highest rated player or FPO player.
Yep.
And she had a 3,998 total points for the four rounds, divided by four, puts her, you know, roughly at that 994 average. They're weighted differently, so I just doing rough math. And if she drops anything that is lower than a 980, 981, if the average of what the tournament she drops is 981 or lower, she's going to be 1,000 rated, even with a 994 of this tournament.
Wow.
And she still has, what, a couple more tournaments before? So what's next? No, just Champions Cup.
Well, yeah, it's going to be... What is she? What's next is USW DGC, then Throw Pink, and then Tour Championship.
But USW DGC is an X tier, yeah. So ratings don't count.
Right.
And then Tour Championship and what else?
Throw Pink, which is a X tier as
That's
well.
An X tier. So this is her only chance, basically.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I mean, this is the very good possibility. We just have to look back at the last rated round that she has in her ratings history and probably be able to figure it out. And I'm assuming she's going to be 1,000 rated after this tournament. Because her four rounds were 1,002, 1,030, 961 for her third round, and 1,005. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, roughly 994 rating. So, I mean... It looks like it's a very good chance. So kudos to her if that's the case.
Oh, super so happy. Awesome to see it.
How disappointed. Like in a real, we can make fun of it after we talk real. How disappointing do you think and how hard do you think Paige is going to take that?
Well, she doesn't like winning anymore. Or not,
she doesn't care about
She doesn't care about winning.
Yeah.
There will probably be a congratulatory post and everything coming from her. Mm-hmm. But
I don't think there will be.
No?
I think there'll be like a mention, like, hey, good job.
Okay.
Man, no, there will be. There will be. That'd be a horrible PR if she didn't.
Yeah. So I'm sure deep down, like, when Paige was close, it was in the back of her mind. But I don't know if it's something that really, I don't like, hard to say, like maybe there was some kind of like incentive or something for her to be that person to get to 1,000. But I mean,
I think there's a historical aspect to 1,000 rated.
Yep.
I think it cements yourself for Hall of Fame bids, you know, and I think there's a lot of those little nuances that'll come with it.
Sure.
And I'm sure the bonuses, the discs, the sales for, you know, the commemorative disc, things like that. And I would assume that they're going to put out a 999 commemorative for highest rated female.
I would think so.
It would make sense.
Yeah.
And then in a month they can do the 1,000 rated.
So crazy. Cause like she just had the world's, you know, the new Halo or the
two time,
the orbit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, they drop a 1,000 rated or 999. Like just crazy.
Mm-hmm. And these ones will be ones that'll be worth doing, you know, buying the 999 for collectors.
Yeah.
So they'll go.
Mm-hmm.
Good for her.
I wonder what the Matty O commemorative MVP disc is going to be.
It's going to be a big Alabama A.
Oh, yeah.
With the MVP behind it. What would it be? What's MVP's thing? I mean, the
Maple Leaf?
The Maple Leaf. It'll be an Alabama.
Be cool.
That'd be smart.
Yeah. Man, he was signing. So after the round, there's a bunch of black discs he was signing. Mm-hmm. And those were all for volunteers. Like, I was like, where are all these discs he's signing? And then I heard it. I was like, just for people that work. Like, they weren't for sale, anything. They're all.
And remember, people that paid to work.
Well, yeah. I mean, not volunteers, like.
Yeah.
So like they get a package of stuff, and that's cool. That's one of the things that they got.
I think it's brilliant. I still what an audacious thing to do by Steve Dodge.
But it holds people accountable.
And it is absolutely brilliant.
It is, because like they get lunch, they get perks of.
They get exactly what they paid for.
Yeah.
And they get a chance to be up close and personal with their players, their favorite players. And they get exclusivity to certain things.
Mm-hmm.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Brilliant, Steve, brilliant.
It is.
The Disc Golf Pro Tour itself wouldn't be around if it wasn't for his absolute visionary.
Oh, another thing to talk about at the MVP Open is MVP themselves, like that we're vending. There's a bunch of special edition time lapses there.
Oh, were there?
Yeah.
What buttheads?
Like
That's kind of cool, though.
It is kind of cool. Like, yeah. They had this cool bear on it, and they were protos. Mm-hmm. So I think there's prototype ones, and there was the special edition ones there. I was like, oh.
Well, I think the ones that we're getting now are protos. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then they're supposedly pretty soon going to release the normal. I haven't gotten any information about them yet, but it's weird. They are, like, for a company based in technology, and their discs are, like, everything is technology. Like, oh, the technology, the science, the...
Yeah.
Their ordering is garbage.
Oh, is it really?
So bad.
Ooh.
It is so bad. Hot take, but not. I mean, it is so bad. It is, like... It may as well be an Access database. Like,
oh, man.
It is, like, what you do is you fill out an order form, an Excel order form, and you have to upload it to this portal. And then they just let you know, hey, we got it, thanks. And I'm like, you guys don't have an online, like, marketplace? Like, let's pull these things down, put them in the cart, submit, you get our credit card information.
Yeah.
Like, no. It's weird.
Ooh.
They're behind. Okay. But there are quite a few that aren't. Believe it or not, one of the best ordering, I think I've said this before, but one of the best ordering for wholesale, other than Cool Daddy Slick Breeze Disc Golf, or Cool Daddy Disc Golf.
Cool Daddy Disc Golf.
CoolDaddyDiscGolf.com. Other than his, I would say Prodigy has probably the easiest one to work with.
Okay.
So.
Interesting.
Yeah. All right. Championship cut line. Let's talk about that.
And yeah. Then,
I don't have much to say about this because I haven't looked into it, so I'm relying on you to be the cool guy.
Yeah, I have the standings up right now. So we'll go MPO first. So top 31 qualify. We'll get to that in a second. So sitting in first, first through fifth, there's no changes. It's Calvin, Isaac Robinson, Gannon, Ricky Wysocki, which we, in the beginning of the season, with him missing all the tournaments, dropping out, whatever, made it up to fourth.
Right.
Like, and
brilliant.
Yeah.
Good job.
Unbelievable.
I was actually going to mention, I just didn't say it, but like, he's been awfully quiet, but still sneaky good. Still getting points, still finishing up there, but he's been awfully quiet still, though.
I mean, yeah, he got first at the Preserve, and then he's rattled off top tens. Mm-hmm. And I mean, he's done okay. He finished 12th at Worlds, fourth here, but really not a lot of tournaments played. Mm-hmm. First at Cascade, which is silver. And then, unbelievable that he was able to make it up. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then, Eagle in fifth. And then moving up five spots, Matty O. So that's significant because he actually gains a stroke in that tour championship format where the higher up you are, the more strokes you gain. Simon was up three spots to 11th. Kyle Klein, Anthony Barella, Cole Rodallen, that makes the top 10. We get down a little lower, and notably, Paul Ulibarri misses the cut at 32nd.
Didn't Macbeth make the cut?
Macbeth did make the cut. He is 23rd.
Jeepers.
Yes. So the reason Ulibarri missed the cut, which normally he would have made it, is because Parker Welk, who sits at 54th, won DDO, and that qualifies him. So only missed out by one spot, which is, I mean.
Well, there might still be someone that may not show.
True. I mean,
so
you never know.
He's the next, right?
He would be the next, yes.
Okay.
And then some other notable people missing. Gerthy, Gavin Babcock, Brody Smith, 37th. Andrew Marweed, Eric Oakley, Matt Bell, Jeremy Colling, Casey White, Ulibarri. So those are just some of the names that are just in that, like, 32 to 50 range. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Well, that's good. I mean, none of those names surprise me that they're out because it is only 32.
Because they're kind of like on those cut, like, they're always like kind of on that cusp of like making a jump into like the top 25 to 20. But
yeah. They're kind of, I always compare it to the, they're on that line of not having to scroll to see their names sometimes.
Yes.
And sometimes you have to scroll to see their names. Yep, I get
exactly.
Except for Colling. Colling kind of, you always have to scroll, but.
Yeah. I mean, what tournament was it? He played well recently. I can't think of it.
He usually almost always plays well at Waco. But I don't know if he's played the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Because I remember he didn't sign up 1 year.
Right.
He just forgot to sign up and he missed missed the sign up.
Yes.
And then I think last year, or obviously.
Well, he missed Vegas this year as well.
He did.
Like, he forgot to sign up for Vegas.
Yeah. that's your job.
And then wasn't it this year as well? I remember Ezra Aderhold made the big deal. People missed the sign up for Champions Cup.
Yes.
Yep. So it was like him, Kevin Jones, I think.
Mm-hmm. And then they did this whole thing and they ended up getting in, but yeah.
Yeah.
There was quite a few people, I remember.
Yes. I think Conrad didn't make it in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
And then we'll jump over to FPO. No real big surprises. Kristen, Missy, and Owen are the top three. Holland Hanley moves up to fourth and jumps Ella Hansen, who's in fifth. Kat Merch, Haley King, Katrina Allen, Sarah Holcomb, and Macy Valadiez round out the top 10. Juliana Corver on the cusp just misses out. She's in 19th, top 18 qualify. Henna Blomroos misses. Sayananda just misses out at 22nd.
What about Pierce, though? Because I think Pierce made the cut, but
she is not on the list.
Okay, because I think they just probably took her off
because of her injury, yeah. And then let me see who else. Evelina didn't make it. Alexis Mondejano, Valerie Mondejano, obviously, like, she just kind of came on too late in the season. Mm-hmm. She played well, but just didn't accumulate enough points. And she did. Valerie Mondejano qualified because of her Idlewild win, but she sits in 30th for points. And Paige, you're right, Paige is on here. She qualified because Ben had mentioned that Juliana made it, and mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I don't see Paige, but Paige had a win at Austin,
mm-hmm.
no injury, so Juliana did qualify.
Okay,
so she jumps into that spot because Paige isn't going to be able to make it.
All right.
So that's interesting. And like we said, there's two more events for the women before the championship. So we'll see how that USW DGC goes and the Throw Pink, which is interesting. Like, those two events to me should be just combined because you have to qualify for Throw Pink anyway.
Exactly.
So you might as well just have it. And
one's owned by one and the other's owned by the other.
Exactly.
And that's the reason why. So it's a money game.
Yes. The money game.
Yeah. And then if you remember rightly, USW DGC didn't exist. It was like pulling teeth to get them to run it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they started Throw Pink.
Yep.
And then USW DGC.
Yeah. So weird.
Yeah. And I don't understand how
because like Throw Pink manufacturer, is at the USW DGC too. Like,
exactly.
Like, so stupid.
And how can a manufacturer say, we're going to make a championship? And just, it happens.
Yeah.
Really? Who do I have to know? Like, whose boots whose ring do I have to kiss? You know, it's like.
Dave's.
Yeah, exactly. Jeez.
Hey, yeah. We just like to make a.
I'd like to make a bid for this if you want. I mean, that'd be great. All right. Well, I think that's about all the disc golf talk. Well, no, not all the disc golf talk, but it's all the.
Tournament talk?
Tournament talk. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
The main body of the
podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. With that, let's go into the random question.
All right.
Here's a random question. Actually, no, you asked the random question.
Okay. This is from Ben. And Ben asks, what's an article of clothing you'll never be able to part with?
So I read this two ways. One is underwear. I cannot do without underwears.
Right.
Is that underwears?
Underwears, yeah.
I like underwears.
All right. Plural, like you have many pairs that you can't part
with. I have many much pairs.
Yes.
Many much pairs of underwear. But if there is like a piece of clothing, like an article, sentimental article of clothing.
Okay.
Would be, man, I really don't like, I don't think I have one.
No, no.
I do. I lied. So I have my old pad shirt from football. So from the time I started playing football, and I think I've talked about this on the podcast before, but from the time I started playing football until I stopped playing football, I had a game day pad shirt. And
okay.
When I call it a pad shirt, it was just a shirt I wore under the pads.
Yeah.
So I didn't get like nipple rash from the pads.
Makes sense.
So, I mean.
Band-aids, dude.
Yeah. So there was one point that.
Anyway.
So I'll spare the full details of the story, but I got my nipples pierced. Nipple. I got a nipple pierced. Oh, God.
Okay.
So I got a nipple pierced. I don't currently have my nipple pierced, but I had one nipple pierced, and it was all a bet, like a dare. And I tried to keep it in until the practice, basically.
Yeah.
And then shoulder pads, kind of rub your nipples.
Yeah.
Or maybe my nipples.
Sure.
Yeah. It came out immediately. Oh. Like, it was I won the bet. I got the reward from the bet. But that was it. Yeah. So there you go. I had a nipple pierced.
God.
Nipple.
Yeah.
The things you know about me.
Yeah, right. Mm. So more people know more about Shane.
Man, I will say anything. It doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
I mean, it does, but only for a couple seconds. So, so it's that shirt. And that shirt is, it's just a black shirt. I got it in Tucson, Arizona, when we went to Tombstone. And all it says is, "Here lies Lester Moore, died from a 44 slug, no less, no more."
Okay.
That's it. That's all it says. It's just a black shirt that has that saying on it, a little like tombstone.
Yeah.
That's it. Huh. So, and I don't know, there's no reason it just became the shirt I wore.
Yeah.
And then by the time I was like in high school, I recognized it as my pad shirt. And the fun thing is that I have it in a Ziploc bag, just like sealed away.
Yeah.
You open that thing up and it smells like death. So bad. I mean, I'm not joking. Like, I would wear it to school. And I remember in high school, I would wear it, and you'd wear your jersey to school the day of the games, you know? And it was so bad. Like, people would move away from me because it was so bad.
Yeah.
And like, even teachers knew, like, oh, it's Friday. Like, Shane's wearing that freaking shirt again.
Oh,
you know?
Man.
It was bad. And I washed it, did everything. It just had a funk.
Yeah.
I didn't care. That was the shirt I wore on Friday.
Okay.
When it was game day, that shirt was on.
Got it.
So there you go.
All right.
What about you?
I got like two. One's like not sentimental. One's just like I have this green waffle
thong.
Weave. No, yeah. Oh.
Waffle weave thong.
Yeah.
Wow, no, that's weird.
No. Just it's a long sleeve waffle weave shirt, and I've had it for a really long time.
What is a waffle weave shirt? What does that mean?
Waffle weave. It's like just like the knit, like
I'm envisioning like Bono kind of see-through.
No. Okay. No, this is like a heavier weight shirt that you would wear, kind of like a thermal shirt, but like the pattern is like crisscross.
Okay.
Like the stitching in it is crisscross, and that's what creates the waffle weave. And so that's what's kind of what I call it. And it's a heavier weight shirt that I just wear during the winter, but like the elbows are getting all worn out on it and stuff, and I don't want to get rid of it because I just love it.
Yeah.
And then the other item is I have a Clint Dempsey U.S. soccer jersey that I wore when Dempsey was born. And so
did you name Dempsey after that?
Yes.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
So we named him after Clint Dempsey, U.S. soccer player. And so I wore the jersey in the delivery room when he was born.
Nice.
And he came out. Dempsey weighed 8 pounds, and Clint Dempsey's jersey number actually is 8. So it was like kind of interesting, like 8 pounds even. Clint Dempsey's number 8, and so like I will probably not get rid of that jersey.
Yeah. I can understand that. Yeah. I can understand that. Yeah, that's awesome. The only other one that I have. Now that I'm thinking about it, I have this old ratty sweatshirt. And I got it when I was 12 years old.
Okay.
And this is how worn out it is. The thing still fits me.
Oh, wow.
But it's just this blue hoodie, and like there's no elastic left in it. Like everything is frayed. There's paint on it. I mean, everything. And I wore it pretty regularly. You may have seen it because I even wore it like when we moved up here. Well, I don't know if I really knew you when we first moved either. Up here. But like my wife had to beg me to stop wearing it. Oh, really? But it's just one of those like shirts you just put it on and you're like, oh. There was like zero insulation to it, nothing. But it was like this Target hoodie or wherever. I got it as a Christmas present for my aunt and uncle. And it said side out on it. I had no clue what side out meant. And then I realized it was a volleyball term. Mm-hmm. So it's like a beach volleyball shirt. I don't know who it was made by. Yeah. But I know it's like a volleyball term. But the stamp is still awesome.
Yeah.
But everything else is just ratted out completely. Sure. Like so much so that like even if I wanted a string in the hood, like that portion is just completely frayed out.
Okay.
Like there's zero chance you'd be able to even hold a string.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've had that one for a long, long time and she's convinced me not to wear it anymore, but I still got it.
Okay. Yeah. I think there's shirts kind of like that too, where, I'll just wear them as like a nightshirt or like, you know, wear them as pajamas to bed. Like I have a Rhythm Chicken shirt that I used to wear when I work out and both armpits are like torn out. So it's like I have ventilation. Like I didn't do it on purpose, but they just happened to wear out in the wash and stuff.
Chicken, yeah.
Yeah. And so I wear it to bed from time to time.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. You don't get like stuck in it every once in a while.
No, like put your arm through the wrong hole. And you're like,
yeah. I got like the clothes do that to me sometimes too. And like, you know, you get, this is going to sound really stupid, but I've had underwear and like, I'm getting back to underwear. This is weird. It's not trying to be funny, but it's real. Like
right, fly is too big and you put your heel through.
So the waistband will rip or something.
Oh, yeah.
Or like you're a little hole in the crotch.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, something like that will happen. Or like a leg will blow out, like a seam will blow out or something. Yeah. And you're like, I can wear it one or two more times. Yeah. And you end up wearing it like 50 more times. Because I'm the guy that like whatever's on top of the drawer, that's what I grab and throw.
Oh, yeah,
on.
Absolutely.
Like, I'm also a guy that like when I find a pair of underwear I like, I buy like 50 of them. Mm-hmm. Not that many. But I buy like 2 or 3 packs.
Sure.
And then that's what I have. Mm-hmm. So I just grab what's on top. So they just keep getting recycled. And then finally, like, I just have to, like, okay, I'm going through this. Or when I have it on, like, when I take it off, I just rip it, like, completely so I don't wear it again.
Okay.
Oh, it's funny. So there you go, Ben. That's a lot more than you wanted to know, I'm sure. So, and I didn't even bring up my favorite thong. So you're pretty lucky on that one. It's not a thong. They're chaps.
Yeehaw.
They just kind of fit the same way. So, let's get into shop updates. Halloween buzzes are in, both full color and the glow. The
full color ones are cool.
They are, dude. And Ash, like, I'll buy one because I'm a huge fan of Ash. But the Lazat waves and the time lapses are on their way. I did get the shipping confirmation and number, so we are able to track them. And then. Innova order, we will be placing a pretty large Innova order here pretty soon, and then a DD order also. So we're going to have two pretty large shipments that will be probably placed this week, so we'll see them probably next week, following week. So with all that being said, any inspirational thoughts to leave us on?
Oh, shoot. You know what I was going to mention?
Yes. No.
Oh, okay. No. I don't know. This was also going around on social media. Shoot, what's his name? Was that Justin Trails?
Oh, yeah. That was like huge downhill shot.
It was 635 feet or something like that.
And pure.
Unbelievable.
Yes.
Unbelievable. Yes. Oh, what's his name? Isaac? Is that his name? Isaac Wilson?
All over my Instagram.
Yeah, so I saw it today.
I'll find it pretty
Josh,
quick.
Josh Hamm had it, I think.
Yeah. Of course, now I'm not. I ran into it like 35,000 times because everybody's sharing it. But just a pure threw it downhill, like, and just straight as can be. And I don't know if we've mentioned yet, but congratulations to Paul Macbeth and Hannah Macbeth on their arriving child.
Well, we've mentioned it before.
Oh, have we? Yeah, I wonder when they're due. I wonder if we're going to have twinsies.
I think October.
Oh, that's nah.
Boo.
Nah.
Oh,
no, not bad. No, no, that's Mabel. Well, anyways, congratulations, whoever you are.
that one kid,
I know him too. And
Eli Swanson.
Yes.
That's his name.
Swanson Disc Golf.
Slappy Samson.
Yeah. Samsonite. I was so close.
Yeah. Absolutely sick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go find it.
I love how you go to the Dumb and Dumber reference. Samsonite. That's it. Oh, okay. All right. Anything?
Nope, that was it.
Come on, inspirational.
Don't do drugs.
That's a good one. But wasn't that kind of a failed attempt by Reagan, Nancy Reagan?
Yeah.
The whole drug, the war on drug thing. Dare. Yeah. I think we've talked about that as well. They still do make those shirts. But now it's like dare to do drugs or something like that.
Oh, boy.
Sounds about right, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So, well, other than that, I'd say I don't have anything. I had a really good one earlier today.
Oh, really?
Because I was like laughing out loud and I told somebody and I thought it was really funny.
Yeah. How about a dad joke? Got any dad jokes to end on?
I did. So I got one of my employees. So I walked up to them and I said, hey, JP, you know that someone in this office was possessed by an owl?
Who?
There it is.
Very good. Right.
So I got one of my employees that way. He's a younger guy. And I was like, hey, Brian. And he's like, what? And I go, did you know that someone that works here got possessed by an owl? And he goes, who? And I looked at him. And then the other cook looked and goes, oh. He just walked out. He was so mad. He's like, this is his first job. And he's like 16 or 17. So, well, with that being said, deuces. In the toilet, most appropriate place for them, and keep us subpar.
Peace.